all, we're doing this Aliyas Nishmas. My nephew, this the name is Elisha Baruch Tovia Ben Uri Menachem. So we're going to be talking about Shatnez. Parsek Kedoshim Tov Shenayin Dalet. It says in Parak Yutas, Pasuk Yutas, Ubegi Kilayim Shatnez Moliyal Alecha. It's speaking about all the other different types of Kilayim, and then it ends with Begi Kilayim Shatnez Moliyal Alecha. Now, Rashi tells us more in Halakha. We're not going to be concentrating on this. There's quite a bit when it comes to Halakha. The Rashi and the Ramban and other Rishonim go into this. There is another Pasuk warning us not to wear Shatnez in Devar in the Parshas Kisetze in Chav Beis Yud Aleph. Nonetheless, this Pasuk is telling you that a Beged, that you can't wear a Beged that has Shatnez in it. Something that is Shua Tavui Venuz, which means different spun together and things together. Now, there's no need to go into stuff like that tonight because that's not what our concentration is, but just so you know, that Rashi is not an easy Rashi to learn. The Ramban tells us the reason why. The reason why we have Shatnez is that we should never mix together different minin, different types of things together. And although this is without a question a chok, without a question, it's a chok meaning a law that we do not understand and we do not give our own reasons for, nonetheless, these materials were the most common ones for making clothes back then, and since you shouldn't mix together, therefore it should be that you don't mix those together. Now, lefi that reasoning, again, this reasoning does not apply regarding the halacha, but lefi that reasoning, it sounds like you should never mix any different types of clothing together. In other words, cotton and rayon, or, you know, synthetic fibers together with wool, or anything like that. But without a question, but meaning, if you give that reasoning of you shouldn't mix any two minin together, then really it should apply to anything.
But they're representative of two different types of meaning. Wool comes from a living...
Understood completely. All I'm saying is, lefi this reasoning that he just gives, that you should never mix two minin together, that's all it should be. Now, that's not how we hold. That's not the Pesach Halacha. It's only wool and linen. The Rambam in Mori Nevuchim, in Perek Chelet Gimel, Halacha, I don't know how that goes, but Perek Lamed Zayin, says this is a special well-known beged that was used by priests and the Balei Kishuf, through which they did all of their deeds. They used this in magic to go do all of their things that they wanted to do in magic. That wool and linen combined together, was able to do these different types of things. Therefore, the Torah is marking us from those practices, telling us, do not do what they do. Just like they got involved in wool and linen together, we don't do that. Now, the Rabbeinu Bachaya explains a little bit further, and he takes the Ramban to another level. He says, all the combinations mentioned in this pasuk, whether talking about breeding animals together, or leading animals together, or different seeds in the ground, they're all called chukim. They are not relegated to our physical world only, because really, they deal with things that are way beyond this world. Everything in this world, everything that exists in the physical world has a seichel nivdal, which means a malach, basically, that is in charge of it. A guardian angel of every single thing in the world. Everything has their own guardian angel. And they are thus called chukos shamayim. Not just chukim, but chukos of the heavens themselves. Now, because of that, when you mix things that are not meant to be mixed, we cause a rift. We create a rift in the shalom of the heavens above. We cause friction and an irbuv, a mixture of the kochos, of the strengths, of the powers that be up above in shamayim that are not meant to be mixed, that should not be happening. And yeah,
I had a question. Is it when only when Jews do it or when anyone does it?
Good question. But thus the word chukim. Thus the word chukim. Chok means to engrave, to put inside. These are things that are engraved and set in stone up above, and they can be ruined by our involvement. We get involved, and this is what ends up happening. Only we, however, need to be careful about these laws, which answer what you were saying before, Asher. They were not given to any other nation of the world. Chukim mishpatim b'yidu'um hallelujah. And that's the idea behind it. Chukim mishpatav l'Yisrael. Right? The chukim mishpatav l'Yisrael. That it's only by us that we have that concept over there. And that's the Rabbeinu Bachai, and he says that that's the idea behind it. Now again, we're going into things that are a little bit beyond us. How that works and why, if it's really destroying the entire fabric of the world up above, and it's causing friction in how the malachim work up above, how in the world does that not apply to non-Jews? Why shouldn't they be involved in this? Now granted, there is an opinion in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Nun Beis that mentions the kilei behema of mixing animals, meaning breeding them together, is also forbidden for non-Jews. Nonetheless, for all other opinions, as well as for sure Shatnez does not apply to non-Jews whatsoever. What's the reason why that would be? Now, the Chizkuni gives seemingly the exact opposite reason of what the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Bachai are trying to say. They say that since the clothes that are worn by the Kohen Gadol were made of Shatnez material, that although the Me'il was only made of wool, but however, the Ephod, the Choshen, all those materials were made of wool and linen together, the blue, red, and purple wool together with linen, they were mixed together inside the strings. It would be like we're using the clothing of the king. Only the king is allowed to wear Shatnez. We're not allowed to wear that clothing, says the Chizkuni. That's the reason why. But the Panach Raza adds on that the only time where we would be allowed to use it is for a mitzvah. And thus, by tzitzis, we're allowed to wear Shatnez. But for no other time are we there. So again, right now, what we have is we have the Rambam in Mori Nevuchim, which tells us that this is a beged used by the Komer. We have the Rabbeinu Bachaya and the Ramban, which seem to say that it's a mixture of kochos, of different powers that be in the Shemayim, that putting them together causes friction in the shalom of the atmosphere. And the Chizkuni and the Panach Raza that seem to say that it's the opposite, that really it's because the Kohen Gadol wears it, and it's such a special holy clothing, we're not allowed to wear such clothing. Binyamin, what were you going
to
say?
Yeah, but according to what the Chizkuni's line of reasoning, it seems that you can't wear white clothing or blue clothing because of the Kohen Gadol.
That was specifically worn by him. Good question. Yeah, I mean, the reasoning of the Chizkuni is a little bit strange. That is the opinion of many of the Rishonim, by the way. The Balei Tosfos also bring down this opinion. It's a little strange, but that's the famous Chizkuni. That's that. Now, the last one we're going to give over here is from the Minchas Yudah, Rabbi Yudah Petaya. Now, I just know, Rabbi Yudah Petaya was the Talmud of the Ben Ish Chai. He passed away sometime in either the 1920s or the 1930s. We are not talking so far back. We're talking about 70, 80 years ago when the Minchas Yudah was around. He says, in his days, the reason for Shatnez was revealed. There was a great plague that went through the cities of Europe. Now, originally when I read this sefer, the Minchas Yudah, years ago, I thought he's referring to the Black Plague, meaning from all the way back when. I don't believe so, because number one, the Minchas Yudah doesn't hint to the Black Plague. He refers to seemingly during his time. His time would have been the early 1900s. I don't know of a plague that raged through Europe in the early 1900s. Was there one?
Influenza,
so maybe it was from the flu. It's hard to understand, though. But he says the following. He says, many people had died through this plague, but none or very few of the Jews had died from this plague. Now, that did apply to the Black Plague, which would make sense. The bubonic plague did not affect the Jews as much as it did the other nations. But either way, he says, the doctors couldn't understand why they were being affected. Some argued it was because of the bris milah. Because of the bris milah, that was affecting them. Some argued it was because of their mikvah, because they went to the mikvah. Some argued the Minchas Yudah said the exact opposite, that Jews never clean out the garbage of their front yards. It's bad for us. Or maybe because of their diets, what they'll eat and what they won't eat. But they did all these tests, they did all these trials, nothing succeeded. They couldn't figure out what it was. A random Jew got sick with another sickness one day. And he was sitting there and he couldn't be in a bed that was too warm, couldn't be in a bed that was too cold. So the doctor told him that he should lie down in a bed that was filled with shatnez. Because wool, obviously, makes you feel a little bit warmer. Linen makes you feel a little bit cooler. But if you mix the wool and linen together, then it's not too hot, it's not too cold, it's just right. Right? That's what it is. So he told him, go down into a bed full of shatnez. So the Jew refused, telling the doctor that he couldn't benefit from shatnez, and he didn't want to benefit from shatnez. He wasn't going to sit down in the bed. The doctor wondered at that. And he said, does everybody hold that way? So he said, well, it's a chumrah not to lie down in a bed that's filled with shatnez. It's possible these chairs are filled with shatnez. I didn't want to say anything. But regardless, the doctor wondered about that. He did a few tests and realized that this was the source of the plague. This is it. The reason for the plague, the reason why the plague was going on was because of shatnez. Says the Minchas Yudah, it could be that the Isser was made knowing that there would be a time 3,000 years in the future when wearing wool and linen would be deadly. And since at that time it was going to be deadly, even though at all other times there was no problem with wearing wool and linen, nonetheless, at one point it was going to be deadly, therefore they answered wool and linen together. That's a crazy pshat. That is not the pshat you tell somebody who says to you when you're at a suit store, tell me, why are Jews mockbit on shatnez? That's not the answer you give. Well, the bubonic plague was because of shatness. Not the answer you give. The answer you give is, it's a choke, it's a law from the heavens. We don't understand the reason behind it, and that's that. Nonetheless, the Minhag HaSuda does say that, and it's an absolutely crazy answer. Now, there's a bunch of little swarm over here. The difference, Zohar La'Avram, it's quoted by the Taimi Minhagim, says, now one should be careful that even a baby that is a day old is not wearing shatness, does not have any clothes that are shatness. The Pnei Zaken says, one who is careful about shatness will live a long life in this world and in the next world, and will not come back in a Gilgul. And he will die peacefully with many children that are Talmidei Chachamim and Tzadikim, and will be zocha to many good things. What an unbelievable thing, says the Bnei Zaken. That's if a person is careful about shatness. The Sefer Ksav Yosser writes that a man once died and was brought to Beis Din Shamayla and was told that he would need a very difficult Gilgul, which would be very hard on his soul, worse on his soul than Gehenna would be. And the guy begged for Gehenna instead. And he was told that if he was careful about shatness his whole life, then he won't be brought down into a Gilgul. Instead, he'll get Gehenna. He'll get that din instead. That's what he'll be able to have. His preference was granted because he was careful with shatness, and he was able to get Gehenna instead of a Gilgul. That was the idea that was given to him. You thought wrong. The Miam Loez brings another story. This story is a crazy one. There was a Jewish tailor who wasn't careful about the sin. Obviously, he was a tailor, which means he was doing this to other people. After he died, it was no more than a few days that they found him outside the grave that they had dug for him. So the people that found him said, oh, this is so terrible. We must not have dug a deep enough grave, and the animals must have gotten to it and must have dragged out his body. So they dug an even deeper grave, went even deeper into the ground, put him all the way down inside there, and then filled it up with dirt on top, and that was that. The next morning they came into the graveyard and they found that the guy again was on top of the ground. So they knew this is Lodavaru. They didn't touch the body. They went straight to the Rav of the city. Now the Rav of the city, says the Miam Loez, was a great tzaddik, a great mekubal, and a great tzaddik who knew very many things. The Rav went to the cemetery and did whatever he did in order to do this, and made the mace talk. Made the mace talk and said to the mace, why are you not being buried in the ground? And the mace said, this is his punishment for causing Jews to be over on shatness. Since shatness is on the malbush of a person, and after a person dies, the land is the lavush of a person, that's the clothes of a person. Therefore, since I'm giving them the wrong clothing, the land refuses to be my clothes. Land refuses to be my clothes. So land has told me that I have to remain naked for the rest of my death, and that I won't be able to be buried. The Rav davened for him that he should receive his punishment in Olam Haba instead. I don't know if that's better, but he should receive his punishment in Olam Haba instead. And then he was able to be buried, and he stayed inside the ground. Scary.
Maybe
scary story.
It's better because he's already dead, so
it's already gone.
He's suffering from the fact that his body is outside of the Keter, so maybe he's left with suffering to have different sort of
it's a Gemara Shabbat Daf Lamed that seems to say not like that, but Mishabeach Nisa Mesa Mina Chayim. But I hear what you're saying, so maybe that's a way of translating that Gemara. Reason because it's already gone from the world, so he doesn't have to have the punishments, which seemed to be on the body, which was physical. The question is your body
the punishment suffered by a body that's not buried? It means it's not suffered by your body, it's suffered by the soul.
That's the soul of not being buried, but the body itself still could suffer. I mean, the worms still is a suffering for the body even after death. That's the question of whether. Okay, well, this is too much. Ray Conti says that the word shatness means there is a satan that is in charge, a satan az, and that comes from the word shatness itself, that is in charge of those who wear shatness and is able to destroy them. And the only way to save oneself from that satan az is to learn Torah, which gives you weapons, zanim, which are able to fight against this satan az after death, so that after death you have the ability to fight against this great satan. And that's the reason why every single one of these letters of shatnez have tagin on them, crowns on top of the letters. Meaning, if you look in the Sefer Torah, there are certain letters that have little crowns on top of the letters. Shin, Ayin, Tes, Nun, and Zayin all have that on top, and that's the reason why. It's to tell you to learn Torah in order to protect yourself from shatnez, and that's the remez, says the Reganti. The Shach also says there are two midos that are above the accusers of the Jews, and Hashem always keeps them apart. The Tzioni seems to say that their names are Apikoris and Min, which are great names, good names for these types of things, but wearing wool and linen together puts them together and doesn't allow the tefillos of Klal Yisrael to go up to Shamayim. In fact, Sandal, which is the malach that's in charge of taking the tefillos of Klal Yisrael and making crowns for HaKadosh Baruch Hu with them, is not allowed to make crowns out of your tefillah if a person wears shatnas. That's lo yala alecha. Lo yala alecha is not only that you shouldn't put the shatnas upon you. Lo yala alecha is that your tefillah won't have an aliyah. Your tefillah won't be allowed in Shemayim from what you're doing. The Kav HaYashar in Perek Mem Vav says there are three things that doesn't allow your tefillah to go up to Shemayim. Number two is shatnas. That if a person is wearing shatnas, his tefillahs will not be heard in Shemayim, no matter how much kavanah he has, no matter what else he does, his tefillahs will never be heard in Shemayim if he's wearing shatnas. You should know, there is a story. I don't know where I got the story from. I was 99% positive it was a Rav Pesach Kron story from when the Echoes of the Maggid or something like that. I tried looking it up. I didn't find it. That doesn't mean anything. There's a lot of books. But I couldn't find it in, you know, the index, and usually his indices are pretty good. But the story is like this. There was a man who lived in Shanghai, who was in Shanghai with the Mir Yeshiva, who had bought a new suit for Erev Yom Kippur, on Erev Yom Kippur. He bought it for Yom Kippur itself. He was wearing rags, so he bought a new suit and had the material made himself and had it done in Shanghai. I don't know, to be honest with you, I don't know if it was Kobe, Japan or Shanghai. I'm not so sure how long they were in Kobe, Japan for. Let's assume that it was in Shanghai. As he was in Shanghai, he was davening with that suit and he just could not concentrate. Anything, he couldn't, nothing was going in. Like, the tefillos weren't going in. He wasn't davening. He didn't feel anything. Right before Ne'ila, he ran back to his room. He got his old suit, put his old suit back on, and he felt everything come back together. And he told people later on the reason why is because he realized there must be shatness in the suit. And he checked this after Yom Kippur was over, and it turned out exactly so. There was shatness in the suit, and because there was shatness in the suit, he wasn't able to feel like his tefillos were going up to Shemayim. Now, I don't ask how you know if your tefillos are going up to Shemayim. I don't ask how he got out of Europe and went to Shanghai. I mean, these are holy people who ended up going to Shanghai. These are the people who, if they davened on Yom Kippur, they could feel their tefillos went up there. These are not normal people. But that is a story. I just don't remember where I got it from. I have a feeling it is a Rav Pesach Kron story. I'm just not sure where it is. The Yarot Tzavash, Rav Yonas and I should lament in the Sefer Yarot Tzavash and his Drushim over his generation that they were not careful about this great sin. He brings a tour in Or Chaim Tov Reish Dalet that brings the case of a tailor that bought a very expensive fish for himself on Erev Yom Kippur. He could not afford this fish, but he bought it anyway. When they asked him why he did so, he said, how can I not be happy on such a day, which is Slicho U'Mechila? And the tour brings this down to tell you that on Erev Yom Kippur, you should have a nice big meal for yourself. That is a day of Slicho U'Mechila, and you're going to be forgiven for all your sins. So too over here. The Taz asks on the tour. Now again, remember, the Taz wrote on the Shulchan Aruch. He didn't write on the tour because his father-in-law, the Bach, had already written on the tour. He wrote on the Shulchan Aruch itself. But he asks on that story that's mentioned in the tour, he asks, why say that it was a tailor? Just say, Ahu Gavra. There was a guy that ended up doing it. Why specifically mention the tailor? So he says that normally the Satan is not Mekatrik. He does not accuse anyone in Yom Kippur. We all know HaSatan, the Gemara in Yuma, stands for 364, that he works 364 days a year. He takes Yom Kippur off and he's in Hawaii, along with everybody else. He takes that one day off and he's gone. One day a year he doesn't work. However, he says, if the person is wearing shatness, he works. The Satan only can accuse someone who's wearing shatness on Yom Kippur, because shatness is a Satan Az. It's a stronger Satan than anything else, and therefore he can. That's why even the, this is a crazy shot from Rav Yonason, and I've never seen this anywhere else, even the Kohen Gadol was not allowed to wear the big day Yom, his normal big day Kohen Gadolah on Yom Kippur. He wasn't allowed to wear it with Nevel, with Nim, because it was too much. Because then the Satan could accuse him if he would have been into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, if he would have worn shatness in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's a crazy pshat. We all know the normal pshat. The normal pshat is he couldn't wear gold because of the egel. That's the normal pshat. Here, the crazy pshat of Rav Yonason is that no, if he would have worn shatness inside, then the Satan would be able to accuse him. That's the pshat that he says. This tailor, he says, was a great tzaddik and knew that he had never caused a person to wear shatness his entire life. And because he knew that this is the right thing, he had done the right thing, he enjoyed the serenity of the day of Yom Kippur, knowing that he had done the right thing. So too, we should be very careful with this sin, about this very great sin, says Yaros Zivash, and you should never be nichshol in it. Once, yeah.
Could it be that the reason that the Satan is so powerful and so bad for Shatan is because it's not really in the fear that people have a Yitzhar HaRapport, I mean, like a tremendous Yitzhar HaRapport? Like, you might think this food looks good, this woman, whatever.
See,
but
I hear exactly what you're saying. There's so many mitzvahs that you think that are like that, though. And this is only mentioned by Shachnez. So yes, I would agree with you that there are...
Is there a mitzvah also that you do with your body that does not... you don't like derive that much pleasure?
I hate doing stuff like that. Yeah, probably. Should I take out my list? I have the 194. In theory, here, I'll let you look it through. Go through it. I don't know. You can probably find one in here somewhere. Let's take a random one over here. Hold on.
No.
Can't interbreed animals. There's one. We got one. It's also kill lions. Can't castrate males.
Well,
just saying.
No, that has to do with pleasure. Nobody's going to do that.
Oh, got one. Can't wear shotness.
Okay.
Yeah, number 181. Hold on. Man can't wear woman's clothes. I don't know. I'm sure I could get one eventually if I really, really went all the way through over here. I'm sure I could get one. That's why I have this, by the way. Just because you know, there's no other reason why I have this in my pocket. Yeah, I know. Once, a Kala came to her prospective in-law's house for Shabbos. This is a good story. It's mentioned in Aleinu L'Shabbeach. She came to her prospective in-law's house for Shabbos, and before she sat down on the couch, she asked if this couch had been checked for shotness. Now, let me suggest something for you from now on, guys. When you're going to your prospective in-law's house, and this is your first time you've ever met your in-laws, don't mention anything about, like, is that usher? That's not a good thing to do. That's not the first thing on your list of things to do. Oh, I remember learning that everything you're doing is terribly wrong. No, never. That's not the right thing. So she did that. She came into the house, she immediately said it, and that's that. The parents-in-law immediately went to Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein in Bnei Brak, and they wanted to break the shidduch. How could she ask such a machmir question on her very first Shabbos, especially about a chait that at best is a chumrah? Shotness on a couch and sitting down on it is a chumrah at best. Maybe. This can't be the right girl for our son. That's what he ended up saying. So Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein wanted to keep the shidduch for whatever reason. So he told them that in Megillas Esther, we read that the beds that they slept on were woven, it says, with chavle boots, the argaman. Now, boots is linen, argaman is purple wool, which means that they were woven with shotness. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, Achashverosh wanted us to sin in such a way that they would be over on every Esther possible, including sitting on couches and beds that were made with shotness. So therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein said, what a bracha, says, a kala that is so careful about this iser that she wouldn't sit down, will have children and grandchildren that are going to be like Mordecai, who refused to go to the party. So I don't know what happened. I don't know if they ended up getting divorced. I have no clue. There's absolutely no idea. That's not the end of the story. But it is a big bracha that Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein said. Everybody knows the famous story with the stipler, right? Stipler was on his way to go visit the Chazon Ish's sister, you know, for a shidduch. So he decided, since he was taking a train trip there anyway, and he can't really learn on a train, he figured he would sleep on the train the entire time. So he spent the next 36 hours, and he spent it up learning, because he figured he'd be wasting so much time talking to a girl and sitting on a train. So he said, all right, for the next 36 hours, I'll sit and I'll learn, and I'll do nothing else. So he learned for 36 hours straight. He got on the train, he was exhausted. He looked down at the seats and realized that the seats were probably woven with shotness. Probably woven. That's my favorite part of the story. Again, it's a stipler. It's not normal people. So the stipler refused to sit down. Refused to sit down the entire train ride. So you can imagine what the train ride was like. I don't know if anybody here has ever ridden the L while standing up while you were dead tired and just had learned for the last 36 hours. I'm sure you have. But if you haven't, I'm sure it's a very difficult thing to do. He was doing it. He got there and he was absolutely exhausted. He sat down to talk to the Chazon Ish's sister and immediately fell asleep on her. They were sitting up for 5 minutes and he fell asleep right on her. So Chazon Ish's sister said, this is ridiculous. She got up and she told her brother, she said, this is not the right guy for me. So the Chazon Ish said, wait, let's find out. He went up to the stipler and said, what happened? So the stipler told him. The Chazon Ish said, this is the perfect guy for you. Okay, I guess he knew her. I would hope he did, because otherwise that's a terrible shidduch. But that was the stipler. That's the famous story that's brought down. Those are the ones that are out there. Now, the Rabbeinu Bechaya brings down a Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma says, the reason why we don't mix wool and linen, and this is our fifth reason and our final reason, is because the gift that Hevel brought to Hashem did not mix well with the gift that Cain brought to Hashem. Cain brought a korban of his, the produce of the ground. Says, this is unbelievable, by the way, the Shachal HaTorah says, the sophe tables of the word korban, korban, Resh Beis Nun. Kuf Resh Beis Nun is the Sophie Tavis of Pishon. And that's how you know he brought flax. That's crazy. I don't know who thought of that. That's absolutely crazy. So he brought flax, and Hevel, as we all know, brought mechelvein from the sheep. So from the fattest of his sheep, mechelvein from their fat, which means he brought wool. So because Hevel brought wool, and Cain brought flax, and it didn't mix well together, so from then on, there was nothing. The first fight, the first destruction of Shalom happened from this combination, so from then on, that combination in this world is considered deadly and is not to be used whatsoever. Now, says the Rabbeinu Bachaya, when these two materials are combined, it allows for Ruach Hatuma to be chal, and it should at least injure you, unless you're wearing it for tzitzis, or the avodah, in which you're bringing back shalom into the world, etc., etc. Now that has to be explained. How do you understand this medrash, and what does it mean? So, Rav Eliyahu Dessler, Michtav Me'eliyahu, Chelek Dalid, page 175. This is what happens when I have a day off. So, page 175, says the following, says, if a person acts only with gevura, in a bad way, in a bad way, he takes his gevura and he acts in a bad way, he's going to cause himself to be a thief, a very cruel person, even more. We understand what gevura is. Gevura is power to yourself. Power to yourself. And if used in a bad way, we know what that means. You're too strong in yourself. Now, if you use it well, then he'll allow himself to become a tremendous Yirei Shamayim. He'll break his Yetzer Hara. But the only way to use it well is if you add on a little bit of chesed. Meaning you can't just be so strict on yourself, you'll punch yourself in the face. You have to allow the gevura to be added on with a little bit of chesed, and then his gevura will be good. So too, a person cannot act with just chesed, says Rav Eliyahu Dessler. If you just act with chesed, as it says later on in this week's Parsha, marrying a sister is considered a chesed hu. Going too far allows a person to fall into the pit of taiva. Into the pit of taiva. If you act with chesed. Now what is chesed? Chesed is giving in and doing whatever needs to be done for the other person and keep giving in and giving in and giving in. That can allow a person to fall into the pit of taivas as well. To make sure that his chesed is used correctly, you need gevurah. You need borders. You need to rein yourself in. You need a little bit of gevurah. Which means a person really needs a perfect combination of gevurah and chesed in order to be a good person. Then he can become a shalom person. Says the Radvaz, in his Taimi HaMitzvos, the reason for shatness is in Mitzvah 234. This is the levush of the satan, and therefore you have to get rid of it even in the marketplace if you have it on. But if you, that's only when it's not betikun ubesh. Shlemus, says the Radvaz. But if they are, if they're used in the right way, they can become a beged of a mitzvah. And thus we can matter it for tzitzis, we can matter it for the Kohen Gadol. That's what it is. Says the Radvaz, Pishtun stands for din, the midah of Kayin. Tzemer stands for chesed, the midah of Hevel. And when used correctly, will be the best levush that a person can have. Now listen to how he puts it together. What Kayin wanted to do, says Rav Dessler, was to cover up for his own chesronos. He knew what he was lacking. He knew that he was a man of gevura, a man who had tremendous power, but he didn't want to give more than what he had for himself. So that's not what Hashem wants. He used his gevura and he said, anything that I don't need, I'll give over to God. So he took the leftovers, the garbage, the stuff that he didn't want, and he gave that to Hashem. That is gevura. That is gevura, thinking that you are more important than anything else, and that I need things for myself. See, that was the problem with Cain's korban. Hevel's korban also had a problem. It was unlimited. It was done through chesed, but not the good type of chesed. Although he wanted to be involved in Ruchnius. He was willing to do anything in order to give to Ruchnius. He was willing to give everything he had in order to give over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that type of pazranus, of giving over everything, is also not a great midah. Because it's not limited. You don't know what you're giving and what you want to give. You're just giving everything you have. That's called chesed shevetuma. Says Rav Dessler, Hashem still accepted Hevel's korban. Because chesed, done in the wrong way, is still like us doing things when we're tameh. And even when we do things when we're tameh, hashochein itam b'soch tumasam. God can rest among those that are tameh, and that Hashem could be there, He could accept Hevel's korban, even though it wasn't done perfectly, even though there were definite problems with it, nonetheless He can be there. But for Cain's korban, He couldn't be there. Because there's one thing that God can't stand. A baal gaiva. Gemara in Sota says, "Ein ani v'hu yichol lador b'mador echas." Me and him cannot live in the same area. We can't live in the same area as somebody who's a Baal Gaiva. And Cain bringing that korban that he brought showed that he was a Baal Gaiva. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not accept the korban of Cain. But that's why he turned to Cain and he said, "What's the problem? I'm okay with what you did. I'm okay with what you did. You just need to mix in a little bit of chesed." He said to Hevel, I'm okay with what you did. I obviously accepted your korban, but you got to add on a little bit of kavura." See, that's the difference. Each one was trying to push away the other's midah, saying, "I don't need your midah. I can be pure chesed." And Hevel was convinced, "Look at what I did." Cain was convinced, "There's no din in the world, because look, I did something and he did something wrong, and yet still his was accepted and mine wasn't." They each were thus punished with that other midah. What was the other midah? Cain used his gevura against Hevel and killed him. Hevel was too chesedic and allowed Cain to do what he wanted and didn't even put up a fight. And thus, because of that, Hevel's chesed killed him, Cain's gevura killed him, to show us that it's not good to just be pure gevura or be pure chesed. The way to be is to be sheis. Sheis was able to combine everything together and to make gevura and chesed together. So therefore, in this world, we have no more Hevel. Hevel's gone, his children are gone, there's nothing left of Hevel in the world, because pure chesed without boundaries does not belong here. There's nothing left of Cain. Everybody is gone from Cain, because pure gevura in this world also doesn't belong here. Instead, we live through sheis. And if we do things correctly, that's the idea of what it means to become like a pair of tzitzis, or to be like the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, to use your chesed and gevura properly, to use your linen and your wool properly, and when done correctly, then shatnez can be a mitzvah. If done incorrectly, then it can cause chesed and gevura to go in the wrong directions. That's the concept, says Reb Dessler, on what we mean over here. We're going to stop with that, guys. Have a good Shabbos.